Log Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLN?
Reality. Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, happiness specialist Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and so excited today. You know, I haven't had a guest on the show in a while, and that's just because the universe hasn't inspired me. But today, I'm so excited to reconnect with one of my favorite people on the whole planet, Barbara Berger. And Barbara Berger, you know how I get right into it. We don't have a minute to waste. Barbara Berger has been a seeker all her life, and all of her books on based on how her life works and find a way out of suffering. Her quest to ease suffering has led Barbara to explore many different pathways and approaches, mental, physical, metaphysical, psychological, and spiritual. After leaving the U.S. in the mid-60s, protesting against the Vietnam War and settling in Scandinavia, Barbara continued her quest in the 1970s with a passionate interest in the role of food in our mental and physical well-being. Let me say this. Her latest book, Instant Guidance in an Age of Information Overload, Find and Follow Your Inner Compass, that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about our intuition, our inner compass, our guide, our GPS. And without further ado, Barbara Berger, welcome back to Reality Spirituality. It's been at least, since 2013, 2014?
Yeah, maybe, but it's been a couple of years anyway. But hello, and I'm so happy to be back, and now you are in Oregon, but I'm still in Copenhagen, so soul sisters are always connected.
Yes, yes. And the interesting thing about you, Barbara, is I love the way you write your books. Your books are written just so the everyday person can understand. I mean, it's just so simple. I like simple. And one of the things that I just want to share with my audience, in my first book, Reality, Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, Barbara Berger was a big influence because she, and actually you can go to her website, beamteam.com, or find it, The Mental Laws. And I remember reading your Mental Laws. I don't remember how many of them, but it really shifted and changed my life. And that is available for all you listeners online. And it's for free, The Mental Laws.
Right.
So thank you for that.
We've made it into a free ebook because we feel that this information is simply so important that it's got to be available to everyone. Because as you said, once you get this understanding, it's about the way the mind works. Once you start to realize the nature of consciousness and the way your thinking forms your experience, I mean, that's the key to freedom. It really is.
Yeah.
It's the key if you want to be happy. It's the key if you want to change your life. And all my books are about self-empowerment. And the mental laws are one of them. So self-empowerment is the deal, right? That's what we all want. We all want to be free. We all want to be happy. But how the hell do we do it?
So. Yes, and it really is about the how. And I also want to say that everyone is welcome to call in. Audience, you're welcome to call in. The call-in number is area code 646-564-9619. If you have a question for Barbara, please call in, and you can be part of the show also. But getting back to the mental laws, it really is about understanding. And once you have the understanding, but Barbara, I find a lot of people want to be happy, and people want this peace and this freedom, but they're really not committed to practicing. It's not easy to practice. It's not easy to make that commitment.
Well, the thing is, and you could say, and all of us, we're all on this evolutionary journey, and the increasing awareness that we gain on our journey, and, for example, learning about the mental laws, learning to understand the way the mind works, or learning about the inner compass, which is what my new book is about. All of these, this new information, we have to, first of all, digest it and understand it and be able to identify these mechanisms. But that's only the first part. Once we actually start to get this new information, then we actually have to integrate it into our lives. In other words, that the kind of changes that happen when we have this new information, they don't happen all at once. So we need to understand that because of the way we've been programmed, because of the way we've been brought up, because of all the faulty, flawed premises that we still believe in, they have so much momentum, our old programming, that there's no on and off switch. You really have to keep on reading, studying, practicing, waking up to the true nature of reality. It takes really dedication. I mean, that's what the spiritual pathway is about. It's not always easy. It's not always easy.
No, not always easy. It's never easy. I'm looking at you. It's just not easy.
There are some moments.
And you know
Let me just talk about the reason why I wrote the new book, To Find and Follow Your Inner Compass, that we're sort of going to talk about today. This is an important piece in answering your question, and everyone who is really struggling with new understanding and trying to integrate it and apply it to the life journey. The inner compass is a symbol. I use this term, the inner compass, to talk about that we all, each one of us, have an internal guidance system. There is an inbuilt mechanism in each one of us which tells us and is telling us at all times whether or not we are in alignment with who we truly are, whether or not we are in alignment with the great universal intelligence that created all of this, including us. And this mechanism, which I call the inner compass, is a very simple mechanism. It gives us constantly feedback and information by means of our emotions. And so the way the inner compass works is that when we feel good, when we feel a sense of ease and flow in our life, when we feel joy, enthusiasm, love, passion, all the good feeling emotions, they are actually signals from within, signals from the great universal intelligence that we are in alignment with who we truly are. And when we don't feel good, when we feel negative emotion, when we feel overwhelmed, confused, frustrated, anxious, when all of the so-called negative emotions, they're actually also signals from within that are telling us that we're off course, that we're not in alignment with who we truly are. So if you study some of the other mechanisms like the mental laws and all these things, if you add the inner compass mechanism to all of this, you have a very, very powerful tool that can help you understand immediately what you are doing and how you are in relationship to your true self. So I think that the important thing about my new book is that for the first time, we actually are starting to understand the significance of our emotions. It's not like it's anything new that we have emotion. Everybody knows they have emotions. Everybody knows this feels good or this doesn't, I'm happy, I'm sick. But we don't truly understand that these emotions are actually giving us important information, that they're actually giving us guidance. So in terms of your question, Rebecca, how do we progress? It's so important to understand that you actually know the answer at all times if you actually would pay attention to how you truly feel in this moment, in this moment, in this moment.
Okay, so then I have a follow-up question. Are you saying that a person can be and feel content and at peace regardless of what's happening all the time, all through with everything?
I suppose. I mean, now you're making it very, very black and white because it's much more of a process that we're all in. It's not. I mean, we're all evolving. There is no sort of end station, as far as I understand. I mean, it's. I would probably say it that it's a question about more or less in alignment with who you truly are. And again, there is only now. There is only now. There is only this moment, this situation. And there are so many moving parts, you could say, in the universe that the thing that confuses us, again, it goes back to the way we've been programmed. We have been programmed to pay attention to other people, to please other people, to be over-responsible for other people. So we have been programmed from childhood to have our antennas tuned to others. And so we have lost contact with the vital information that's coming from within all the time. So the more we tune into it, the more we become aware of the subtle vibrational quality of what's going on inside of ourselves. So in answer to your question, we can be more and more in alignment with who we truly are. That's the deal. In other words, most people today are so far away from themselves. It's not even a concept. Now I'm talking about how do you really feel about stuff, not how you think you should feel. You know, I coach people every day, so I talk to a lot of people every day and try to help people get in alignment with who they are. And when I talk about this mechanism, when I say to people the inner compass exercise, which I describe in the new book, which is about being mindful in the course of your day and stopping and taking it sort of an inner compass moment and ask yourself, how do I really feel about this person or this situation or these thoughts or what I'm doing right now? People actually, a lot of them, they actually really turn pale when I suggest that they do this because it's so anxiety-provoking to actually be that ruthlessly honest with yourself, because the thing that comes up in all of us is, okay, well, what am I going to do if I admit to myself that this doesn't feel so great, or this person doesn't feel so great, or this situation doesn't feel so great? It's like we're all really afraid of the consequences of what we might discover, actually. And so I often say to people also in the beginning when you start doing this mindfulness practice, make up your mind that you don't have to take action immediately, but just sort of try to be present with yourself and be honest. That's a big deal. I know it sounds really simple. It is really simple, but it's a major, major thing to do.
No, what you're really talking, well, it is major, and you're right. In fact, the whole, it is a programming, and that's going to be the second book that I write, Program for Unhappiness. And
exactly.
It is a program. And
that's a good title. That's a good title.
Don't take it, Barbara. Don't take it. That's my title. Don't take it, Barbara.
I promise you I won't.
I know you won't. I know you won't. But I'm telling you right now, one of the things that is a program is the thing called is obligation. And obligation to anybody. Obligation to mother, obligation to son, mm-hmm. obligation to mm-hmm. your twin sister. That obligation mm-hmm. is a cancer. And it's interesting mm-hmm. to me, especially when holidays come up, that these, you know, parents or people
mm-hmm.
obligate you to come and spend, I don't know, I'm just so on fire with this obligation. And to get rid of obligation
mm-hmm.
is huge. It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just mm-hmm. share a really quick story. My birthday is coming up in December, and, you know, I'm in Oregon now. My son visited. He actually helped me move, but we called and he says, well, Mom, I'm thinking about coming for your birthday and or Christmas. And listen,
mm-hmm.
he's my only, just like you have an only. And I said, no, you're not coming for my birthday because my birthday is my day. and his feelings are his responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, I mean, the practice of being able to feel, like you said, the inner compass, feel what fits, feel what fits for you is huge, but then can you follow through? Because it is the
whole part two of this book that I just wrote, Find and Follow Your Inner Compass, it's called How to Deal with the Fear of Disapproval of Other People. Because that is, again, what is it that prevents us? And it's exactly as you say, we've been programmed to please others. So we have this catalog of, you call it obligations, I would call it the shoulds. But anyway, all these things that we have been programmed to believe that we should do, to live a happy life, to live correctly, all that stuff. So the inner compass is actually something completely different. I mean, it is talking about alignment with who you truly are. There are no shoulds involved in that. And so part two of the book is dealing with the fear of disapproval. It's because we are all so terrified of displeasing, upsetting other people.
Don't speak for me, Barbara. Don't speak for me.
Oh, good on you. Good on you.
Don't speak
for me.
As far as I can see,
it's you know, that we're all evolving, and as we evolve, we do lose that fear because we understand that we cannot control other people's experience, that we are not responsible for other people's experience because we're all different. And everyone is living in their own mental universe. And then there we go back to the mental laws, the way the mind works, that in the exact same situation, different people have different experiences. People respond differently to the same thing. So there's no universal right, wrong. There's no universal solution that works for everyone. Everybody's in their own subjective evolutionary trip.
Congratulations
that you're not afraid of disapproval. I mean, do you realize that if that's really true, and I believe you actually, that means you're free, my dear. You're free to experiment. You're free to try. You're free to come and go as you please. And I know you just came and went from California to Oregon, so congratulations. That must have been a really strong message from your inner compass.
Well, I was sharing with you earlier, I don't know, it was such a push. And you know, this is one of the reasons why I'm just going to speak for myself, that I did not follow. I say intuition, same thing, whatever.
Can we just take that point? Because I would just like to say something about the word intuition. I understand that you are using it like I'm using the inner compass term, but just to be completely clear, there's a lot of confusion about the word intuition, which is why I don't use that word. A lot of people have this idea that, I mean, as far as I can see, intuition is the ability to plug into different thought streams. There are, again, there's only this now moment, and all information in the entire universe is basically available to each one of us right now. And so the more sensitive we are, the more we have the ability to tune into different thought streams. But the question that the intuition doesn't really take into account, which the inner compass does, is how does it feel? I have a lot of people who come to me who say, you know, my intuition said to do this or that or the other thing, but they didn't take into consideration that they felt uncomfortable or it didn't feel good, whereas the inner compass has this, we're talking about discernment. In other words, I had a woman who came to me who lived in Stockholm, and that's in Sweden, the capital of Sweden, and she had heard this voice, she said, that told her that she should move to Gothenburg, which is another big city in Sweden. And the thought of doing it created so much anxiety in her, and she felt really scared to do it, but she thought it was some kind of guidance, so she did move, and it was a disaster. But that was because she didn't take the feeling nature of it. If she had known about the inner compass, she wouldn't have done that because the information was not life-giving. It was not good feeling. It didn't make the body go strong. It made the body go weak. So when you use the word intuition, I understand you, Rebecca, but I think we need to be careful because a lot of people have a lot of confusion about that word.
Okay, you know, and I will take that. And one of the things that I've learned, Barbara, is words are very limiting. Because what does your inner compass mean to me? They're sometimes they're limiting, because to someone else that would feel like a fit, and someone else, I mean, I totally get what you're saying. And
right, good.
Sometimes they're just limiting with, well, it doesn't feel right for me, and it's GPS, inner compass, whatever word you want to use, I'm down with it, and I totally get what you're saying. You're absolutely right.
Okay, I just wanted to make that point, because some of our listeners, well, just to think about the feeling aspect, because I know for you, because you're very in touch with your feelings, as far as I understand anyway. So you are very aware of how things feel, aren't you?
Yeah, really aware. If it feels like a fit, I call it if it feels like a fit, or if it doesn't feel like a fit.
Right.
Yeah,
okay. That's my point. That's my point. That you can go there, whereas a lot of people, it seems to me, are so programmed to. Again, it comes back to having lost touch with your own feeling. You could say the inner compass, or as you say, intuition. This is a feeling barometer, but because people are programmed to please others and are more noticing how other people feel according to what they can observe, they don't have so much contact with their own feeling barometer. So that's the deal as far as this book is concerned, and the message I would like to get across is notice how you feel, actually. Truly.
And let me throw something else in, and you, because we're all talking about feelings in the because I'm looking on your book on page 9 about understanding our emotions, and you said comfort to discomfort, and really pinpointing, even simplifying it even more, I just say it's an energy or a vibration. No, it's a vibration of feeling satisfied or feeling dissatisfied.
Perfect. Absolutely. I totally agree. I mean, we could add that to the. That's why I call it comfort discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
You could also say at the kinesiology test, when the body goes strong or weak. In other words, that the universal intelligence that is manifesting through us is life. I mean, we're talking about all-powerful, all-knowing, infinite intelligence, life, the life force in us. So when we're in alignment with that, the body goes strong. We feel good. We feel strength. We feel energy. We feel all those things are words that we put on feeling the power of life in us right now. And you could say that when we're off course, the body goes weak. In other words, we lose our connection to the life force, and it doesn't go away, but we are not in alignment with it, so the body goes weak. I mean, fear makes you go weak. If you notice when you get a shock and you feel afraid, the system goes, oh, you lose your connection, you lose your, so it's a physical, it's an emotional, but it has this effect on the body.
Yes. You know, you're talking about David Hawkins and
he's one of my big heroes. He talks about the calibration levels, and the higher the again, on I have the levels in my book too, on page the frequencies, so the higher they get, the more in alignment you are, the stronger your energy is. So the more powerful you become, and also the greater your ability to influence and be a force of good in the world. Yeah, it's on page 30, the emotional scale. It's a simplified version of the David Hawkins calibration levels.
Discovered David Hawkins maybe 2.5 years ago at my chiropractor's. I had no clue who he was, and now I have all
fantastic.
Of his books based
Me too.
Only because a person that I met in Oregon sent me all of his books just so to borrow, so I can shout out to Teresa if she's listening. So I have all of his. I had Force versus Power, but the Eye of the Eye. I'm reading that now. I mean, it's crazy how this man is so deep and talks about the ego and talks about who we really are, the small self versus the big self. But that was dropped in my lap, too.
That's perfect. I mean, I have all his books and have been studying him for years and years. He's one of my major gurus, so I highly recommend everyone. Transcending the Levels of Consciousness. Have you got that one?
Yes, I got all of them.
Okay, well, just read, girl, because he has the most comprehensive understanding of the human condition, that man. Amazing.
You said something earlier, which is really, really important, about minding your own business. In your book, you talk about minding your own business. I mean, which is one of the things that I talk about too, is stay out of everybody else's business. They're on their own path. They're on their own journey. I remember I used to look at everybody, and I knew what was wrong with other people. I mean, I knew what was wrong with all of them. And let me tell you, audience, if you find yourself looking and finding fault with anybody else, making judgments, anybody, all it is a reflection of you. And there's so much of this people looking at other people and finding something wrong. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I got when they were moving to Oregon, somebody said, "Oh, there's a lot of rednecks in Oregon." I said, "Who cares? Rednecks are people too." You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really runs deep, and it runs to looking in the mirror. And if you're looking at other people and there's something wrong with these other people, guess what? No.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my frustrations of this life. Like, people can point their fingers.
Well, again, if you want to live a happy life, that's one. I mean, that's my book, The 10 Ways to Live a Happy Life, is mind your own business, I think, is point number 3 or 4 in the book. Because, again, if you go back to the explanation of the great universal intelligence that has created all of life, and it has also created you and me. So each one of us is a unique manifestation of this infinite intelligence. And each one of us is inside of our mental universe. We're each one of us having a subjective experience of whatever's going on. So the fact that we could possibly know what's going on with anybody else is completely ridiculous in terms of the nature of reality. I mean, I always say that the only situation where it's appropriate is when somebody asks you for information or asks you for your opinion, different story. Or when you are in a situation where you have a joint project with someone. In other words, if you have a child together, or if you are sharing a living space together, or if you have a work project. I mean, we have certain interactions with our fellow human beings where we do agree to do stuff together. And then the real challenge is, how can we communicate respectfully, diplomatically, and, you know, come to some kind of workable compromises with whoever we're involved with? Because still, even if we're involved with someone, the reality is we're all different. And we're all unique creations. And we all have different ideas about everything. So, I mean, you can see it's the challenge of the world today. It's the challenge of democracy. It's the challenge of what's going on in the United States today. All of it, how do we have constructive, respectful interactions with our fellow human beings? That's the challenge we all face, whether it's in our families or whether it's in our communities, whether it's at the workplace, whether it's in society in general.
Well,
so,
I'm going to have to you used a word that I do not do. I do not believe in. I do not do it. I do not compromise. when I say that, because I know that if I compromise, the reason why if I feel like having Mexican food and you feel like having Chinese, and it really doesn't matter, that's different. But compromising me or compromising myself, for the sake of, and that's one of the reasons why I'm not in a relationship, because...
I understand, but again, what I'm saying is, again, you're making it very black and white, but when we again, everything that we say and do has consequences. That's the way reality functions, right? I mean, so we're free to decide whether or not, if we are in a working relationship with someone or if we're in a relationship, where our limits are. I mean, we're really talking about healthy boundaries here, which is another aspect of this. And if a person is not treating you respectfully, then there's no grounds to be in a relationship, whatever the kind of relationship is, family, work, whatever. And so I think that when you use the word that you're not going to compromise, I think that you probably have been in situations, I know I certainly have, where compromising was actually lack of healthy boundaries and being in relationships which were not based on mutual respect. So it's complicated, and we need to, again, that's why the inner compass is also so important. We need to be aware of when is it that, because I think what you're really saying is that when is it that it's a question about sacrificing my integrity? I certainly would agree with you that that's when I would definitely walk.
Right. No, it's even deeper. It's even deeper than that, Barbara. It's when anyone. It's even deeper than that. It's not. It's about. Really, for me, it's about what energy is compatible with my energy. And
okay, I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah, and having and so people that criticize or make judgments. Criticize, and not only me, just about others. Critical people, they're just not compatible. Or people that are judgmental are just not compatible. So it's even deeper than just the surface. I mean, I can see, or people that are needing, I don't know. Yeah, it's just a lot. But let's get back to your book. Let's get back to your book, because... One of the things before the show came on, and like I said, I just moved up. I'm here a month and a half, so everything's packed. I didn't even have anything for, you know, the introduction. I usually read something for the introduction. And I was looking through. It's just a folder that's in the living room. It's a folder full of papers. And I was looking through this folder, and I pulled out this piece of paper, and it says, the importance of using, and like it says your intuition, but I'll use inner compass. November 2015, it was a class that I was teaching, 2015, and I pulled out this paper. So we're talking about the same things, your book, using your inner compass, and this is what I pulled out of the folder. Isn't that crazy?
I would call that synchronicity. I mean, that's the synchronicity of being in harmony with what's going on. So that's a great demonstration. I love it. I love it. I mean, again, when you're, as you were saying, when you are aware of that you're in alignment, the more that you're in alignment, the things that manifest, I mean, it's important to understand that the frequency that we're sending out, the frequency, vibrational frequency that we're on, that's our signal to the universe. And so... we're transmitting this signal, and we're attracting events, people, circumstances that match our signal. So the higher frequencies, the things that we attract are a lot more pleasing than the lower frequencies. So again, the fact that you would attract something like that, that makes perfect sense because your signal is very powerful.
2015, November 2015, I pull out this definition.
That's 2 years ago. 2 years ago, exactly, right? Huh? Perfect, perfect. But you can say that goes back to what we were talking about in the beginning, that all of this information, all of this understanding and knowing is fully present in all of us. It's more that our realization of it is continually growing. So the fact that you knew that you had glimpses of whatever, I mean, you can go back further, the birth of things within you, it's not like they didn't exist before, but your awareness of the mechanisms, the way the things work, the way the universe works, it's growing all the time. That's what's so exciting about this. I mean, that's what keeps me going. I mean, it's just, I'm going to get, you know, every time you get something, it's like, yes. So.
Mm-hmm. It is, it is, it's, yeah, it is, for me, I have to say it was a lot about letting go of thinking I had any kind of control over what happens and what doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's a big relief, isn't it?
And your what you're talking about, using your inner compass, one of the things that is required to do that is trusting. The only reason why people worry is because they lack trust. So it's really about trusting, letting go and trusting the universe to take hold and know that the universe will guide you or will put you in a place where it's for your betterment, for your highest good, whatever you want to call it. It's the trust.
Right.
And when you have blind trust, but letting go is, for me, was let go. I mean, I was such a control freak. I had to control everything.
Well, the thing that's really interesting about what you're saying is if you actually look at yourself, at your body, at what's going on, it's really the total opposite. We're not doing anything. I mean, that's one of the realizations. I've had that for quite a while now. I mean, there is nothing to let go of because you're not doing anything to begin with. It's all happening to you, for you. I mean, just think about your body, for example. You didn't create it. You just sort of got it. And then you're here. And I mean, you're not doing your body. It's doing itself. I mean, your heart is beating and your food is digesting and the lungs are breathing. You're not doing anything.
Barbara, you're not gonna convince these people that they're not making things happen.
What people?
The people that are out here. I worked hard, and so I got A, B, C, and D.
Yeah.
Those people.
Yeah. And.
they really think they're making it happen.
I mean, the thing is, I'm just saying to notice the nature of reality is really, really interesting. Again, that the evolutionary process, the awakening consciousness is this noticing. It is this noticing. I mean, again, if you notice... It's also important if you go back to the David Hawkins explanation about the pyramid of consciousness. In other words, the higher frequencies, not only are they more powerful, but there are fewer and fewer people the more you progress up the scale of transcendent levels of consciousness. So what you're talking about is convincing people to see things the way you now see things, who are not on the same frequency.
I'm not going to convince anyone. I'm just saying I know what I know. But no,
but again,
I'm not.
That they don't have access to. If you don't have access to the frequency that can see what, for example, I just explained, then there's no amount of explanation that can possibly, as you say, convince anyone of anything, because it has to do with the frequency. Your ability to understand information is determined by your frequency. In other words, if you say there's a homeless person standing on the street, depending on your level of consciousness, that is what determines how you regard this beggar standing or this homeless person standing on this corner of the street. I mean, if you're in fear, if you're in the fear frequency, it could be, you know, I'm afraid of this person, he's going to attack me for my money, help, get me out of here. I mean, that could be the fear vibration. Or if you're in anger, the anger frequency, it could be, you know, why the hell is this person standing here? He has no right to be on my street corner, blah, 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 get rid of him. It could be an angry interpretation. Or if you're on the level of acceptance and understanding and in compassion, I mean, then it would be like, oh, here's another divine soul standing here. I wonder what his life journey is. How did he get here? You know, I mean, isn't it amazing the ride in the universe? And then if you're on a higher frequency of unconditional love, it could be, here's another divine soul, and I see the Christ in him, or I see the Buddha nature in him. So again, it's the same person is standing there, but your interpretation, your experience is based on your vibrational frequency, not on his.
Yes. Beautifully said. I love that. Yeah, beautifully said, of course. I love that.
That's the determining factor. So that is also why the higher up our frequency is, the more joyful our own experience is. And since that's what we are all seeking, we are all seeking joy, happiness, divinity, whatever you want to, whatever word you, is good for you. But that's that when you're in alignment, the more you're in alignment with the divinity, the higher consciousness levels, the better you feel, the happier you are. It's inherent in this evolution.
And the happier you are, and the more at peace, I like to say at peace, and the more at peace you are, regardless of health issues, regardless of money issues, regardless of whatever is going on, regardless if somebody died, regardless of anything, regardless of any of it.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
You are not any of those things. You are not that.
Yes.
So that's the reason why, again, regardless is it's already like that, because when you notice, then you realize, you know, I'm not the body. I have a body, and I'm not, you know, my appearance. I have an appearance. I'm not my money. I either have some or I don't. But that what we are is, it's beyond all that. That's
I'm not my negative emotions.
No, absolutely. That's a really good one too. I'm not my thoughts, I'm not my emotions, I am the infinite field of consciousness in which all of this is unfolding in. I am that.
Yes. So the even getting higher than I'm not my emotions, that's even,
Yeah, but again, it's a good way, if you use the phrase, it helps a lot when working on this, is I am not my emotions, I have emotions. To be able to distinguish between, you break the identification. In other words, if you go back to the mental laws, that's the first two laws in the mental laws. First is that, you know, just to notice that thoughts arise and disappear. And you're the witness. So in other words, you're not your thoughts. The thoughts come and go. And since thoughts generate emotions, emotions also come and go, but you're still witnessing. I have a headache, I don't have a headache, I feel happy, I don't feel happy. But who is it who this is arising and disappearing in? That's who you really are. You are the witnessing awareness, consciousness, the field. So that's cool.
Let's get to the second part of your book, really interesting. The second part of your book is, help me with that, Barbara, because I'm flipping through pages
It's about understanding that the fear of disapproval, what to do about it. Because again, if we go back to, for most people, the understanding of the inner compass mechanism, the understanding and starting to work with this is, once you start doing it, the big question that arises for almost everyone because of their life situation is, what do I do if somebody in my family or one of my friends or my children or my parents, that they disapprove of what feels right to me, what feels most in alignment to me? That's really the challenge that all of us are facing to some degree. And so this whole book section of the book is about, first of all, understanding that happiness is an inside job, that you cannot get in the inside of another person and control their thoughts and their emotions, and therefore you cannot possibly be responsible for their experience or their happiness. That's the number one, to just understand the mechanism. And then I go into, in this part, so if we understand that, and we understand that different people react differently in exactly the same situation, depending on what their belief system is, what their thoughts are, once we understand that, the challenge is, well, how am I going to communicate constructively with people who I care for but who I don't agree with? That's the thing. And so I have some assertiveness training techniques in this part of the book.
Which, well, so you're saying that you can learn how to be more assertive. You can learn how to be more.
I have this, what I call the sandwich technique. Let me give you an example. Let's explain it to your listeners. So let's say that your family calls you up and says, "I want you to come home for Christmas," or "I want you to come to this dinner party," or whatever. And you don't, your inner compass tells you you don't want to go. You don't. It doesn't feel good to you. So what is a good technique, a good way of talking to people that, in other words, just that creates a more conducive atmosphere? So the sandwich technique is based on that whenever we're in a situation like this and we want to have a message to another person, which is basically a no, or I'm not going to do what they want us to do, that you create sentences which have two different parts. The first part of the sentence in the sandwich technique is that you start by recognizing or acknowledging that you heard the other person. So in this case, say, somebody has invited you to come to Christmas or whatever. You start out by recognizing, I hear you and thank you for thinking of me, that it's a kind of an inclusive, an all-encompassing way of approaching another human being. You respect the fact that they have this idea or these feelings or this wish. So, okay, I really appreciate you inviting me, or I really appreciate you thinking about me. And then that's the first part of the sentence, the acknowledgement. Then there comes the bridge to what you want to say. And instead of saying but, because but is like putting up your hand and saying stop. So it's very important in the sandwich technique that you say and, because that's kind of still inclusive and it's sort of the bridge to what you want to say. And then you come with your bit, I'm not going to be able to come, thank you for inviting me, or I have other plans, or whatever you want to say, then you come with your message. And the reason why this technique usually works well with people is because everyone wants to be heard and everyone wants to be respected. So the first part of the sentence is designed to do that. It's designed, you're not agreeing, and you're not agreeing to do anything, but you're acknowledging that you heard the other person, and you try to find something about the person or the situation that you can truly appreciate. Then you do the bridge, which is the and then you come with your message. And then usually in a conversation like that, then the person you're talking to will say, oh, I was counting on you, or how could you not want to come or whatever? And then when you learn to be assertive in a good way, you basically all you have to do is repeat yourself. You don't have to come with further explanations. So that's the kind of things that I talk about in the second part of the book, constructive suggestions of how to deal skillfully and diplomatically with these kind of situations.
Well, BB.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be very honest. When I was reading this, I said that's too much work, and it had a vibe of people pleasing in that. And the interesting thing is, before I left California, there were so many people that wanted some of my time. They wanted to see me. That wanted to say goodbye, which is totally understandable. So what I did was I set up three separate events, three, like on a Wednesday, on a Friday, on a Sunday. I mean, just spread them out. I'm going to be here this day, and if you want to see me say goodbye, there you go. And then there was one woman who, I want you to come to my house for dinner. I want, mm-hmm. you know, like a personal one-on-one. And I'm, mm-hmm. and I'm, listen, you can feel my, because the bottom line is, know when these people are trying to control you. And know these mm-hmm. people, I mean, it's really interesting how if people are really trying to control, and people are really, if they don't get their way, and now they mm-hmm. have an attitude, or now they are upset, or now they have their feelings hurt, that's not compatible. Mm-hmm. And so.
No, that's true. But again, that's not your problem. That's their problem.
Exactly.
I mean,
what I'm saying is, it's the no, thank you. I'm not going to come. I thank you for the invitation, but no, mm-hmm. thank you. Have these opportunities. But what happens mm-hmm. is people that they want what they want, and if you don't,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
then they get upset. I mean, I feel it
again,
all.
Even when I told my son,
no, you can't come for birthday. I can feel his vibration.
Rebecca, listen to what you're. Whose business are you minding now? That you said that a long time ago in this conversation.
You're right.
You're minding their business. If they're upset, they got to deal with that. I mean, that's their business. So again, if you stay in your own space, and you know, it's like I always say to people, I train a lot of people in this assertiveness stuff. You know, whatever the other person does, you just have to regard it like the weather. It's like, you know, now it's raining outside or it's a thunderstorm. What has it got to do with me? It's not personal. The only thing they're telling you is about them. So she's upset.
You're right. But it also exposes. Let me just say this. I can feel people if they have an agenda, even if their agenda is, maybe I'm going off the track here, but I can feel the agenda. And having an agenda, even if the intention is I just want to see you, it just doesn't feel like a comfortable fit to me.
Well, that's fine. But you're still minding their business, whether they have an agenda or not. Still none of your business. I mean, again, leave it. You don't want to go. Mm. Period. Again, you know, don't go there. They're upset.
Okay.
Don't go there.
All right. Okay. All right. You're right.
All right, Mom.
Okay.
You know, really people tricky.
When they're challenged, and it's easy to be happy when the sun is shining, but you really know someone when they're challenged. That's what I'm saying. And when they're challenged,
well, what I'm saying is that nobody can manipulate you unless you give them permission to manipulate you. You're the only one who can manipulate you. Nobody.
I know that, Barbara Berger.
I know you know that. That's why I'm reminding you.
Okay, thank you, Barbara Berger, for the reminder. Thank you.
All of these things that we're talking about are the challenges. So it's great that you brought up that example, because all of these things are the everyday human challenges that most of us, you, me, and everybody else that we might come in contact with, are facing in our daily lives, more or less. And so therefore it is worthwhile to contemplate how to navigate as wisely as we can in these situations. And so, as you said to begin with, number one, mind your own business. And number two is learning some of these techniques can be very, very valuable, a very valuable support in doing that. So that's my experience, and it's what I actually teach all the time to people who come here. And I can see that when I work with people on this assertiveness training, major changes happen in their lives, and especially when you combine it with the inner compass. I said, it's a good fit.
It is a good fit. It's a great fit. So, what do you tell someone in the family that has, you know, 20, 30 years of, you have to spend every Thanksgiving at my house. I mean, what do you tell them? When I say that, like a mom that insists on having to see their child on a birthday or Thanksgiving or Christmas.
Well, the thing is that's so tricky here is that okay, the way I usually explain this is that there's a difference between essence and form. So let's just talk about that a bit. So by form, I mean the so-called relationship that we have, if it's, as you say, a mother and child or the family and you or, you know, your partner and you, that there are certain form relationships that are socially acceptable, you know, like the mother and children thing. This is a good thing. Or the man-woman thing. But then we have, as you said so wisely before, we have the actual energy of this relationship, whether it's a loving, spacious, respectful relationship, or if it's a dysfunctional, abusive, destructive, not respectful relationship. And we are so confused, most of us, because we are only looking at the form and we're not feeling the energy. So a lot of people who are in dysfunctional, disrespectful relationships, either with their family or their partner or whatever, they think this should be okay because it's my family. Or this should be okay because it's, as you said, the mother and son, or it's the partner. But we're not thinking about the energy. As you so wisely said, if the energy is not good, if it's not respectful, it doesn't matter if it's your family or not. It's not okay. I mean, again, if there isn't respect in a relationship, there's no reason to be in it, whether it's family or not. I mean, that's really shocking to a lot of people, but that's actually what's confusing us. We often agree to or allow behavior from a family member that we would never in our wildest dreams allow or accept from a colleague at work or somebody we met at the fitness club, or, you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense to you? So it's really, really important to distinguish between form, and in other words, it's an acceptable kind of relationship, and energy. What's the vibration? What does it feel like? Mm. Once you got that one, you can use it as a kind of compass, again, to determine, because then you can feel, as you said so wisely before, that you know when things don't feel good. You just do. They don't feel, I mean, we know what love feels like. We know what respect feels like. We know what acceptance feels like. And so family members that respect one another, they are spacious enough to respect that another person has a different feeling about where they want to spend Christmas or not spend Christmas. So when they try to make you responsible for their happiness, that's what I call emotional blackmail, and that's their deal. But you don't have to let yourself be manipulated by that.
Emotional blackmail, that's exactly what I'm talking about. It's really,
interesting.
But it's disguised as caring. It's disguised as I care about you, and it's disguised as I can't believe the hour is already up. Barbara,
oh my God!
Let everybody know where they can find you.
Beam Team.
BeamTeam.com.
Right.
Oh my gosh! The time is up.
And the other
thing
is, before I forget, my new book, actually, The Inner Compass, is on sale as a special offer on Amazon now. For some reason, Amazon has pumped it up. It's only $2.27 at the moment. So if you want to buy my new book, now's the time. So go in on Amazon.
$2.
Check it out.
I love it.
Yeah. It's a great Christmas present for yourself or for anyone else. And other than that, go on our website, beamteam.com, and we'll send you, it tells you how to get the free ebook, The Mental Laws. Let us know, and we'll send it to you right away.
Thank you so much, Barbara Berger. As usual, it's been a delight. The time goes by too fast. I love having you on the show. It seems like we just connected last week. Same thing. Just keep moving on. I love
it.
Thank you so much, Barbara.
Well, I'll be happy to come back, my dear. We can just continue this anytime you feel up for it.
Yeah, thank you so much, Barbara. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality. Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday when I'm inspired apart. And I want you to remember who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving, always changing, always growing. Love is patient and love is kind. Be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's the new
experience.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM?
Yeah,
it's time to get some answers, baby.
Good,
now,
real good.
Now, that's what I'm talking about.